It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Let's talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, time to check. Sorry, I forgot about Waiver Wednesday.
Waiver Wednesday. How could you forget?
I know. I'm in two guillotine leagues. I was in three. I got knocked out in one of them. I'm going to see who I got.
Then you should be paying even more attention, I think, to that guillotine league.
Oh, sweet. I did. I got.
What'd you get?
No, I didn't. Doesn't look like it. I was after Jaden Reed in guillotine.
Ah.
It's guillotine, folks. He's not available in other leagues. It was after Jaden Reed. Does not look like I got him.
No. I got Dontavian Wicks in our guillotine league, another Packer receiver that had 13 targets last week.
All right.
With Christian Watson going down with an injury. Did not get Dak Prescott, apparently. Come on. There's a bidding war on Dak Prescott. I mean, there's a bidding war on everybody, I guess, technically.
I've got... Oh, Diggs went for a big number. So did Joe Mixon. Anyway.
I threw a bid down on Diggs. I was thinking, I've got bye weeks. Like, let me put him in there. He's going to get 7 catches. He might only get me 50 yards, but the Bills are going to, you know, take away the big play, right?
Yeah.
If they take away the big play, who's catching the football?
Diggs.
Diggs underneath. But I did not get him.
Who's catching the football? Devontae Adams is catching the football because the Texans will just add another receiver.
Oh, wow. I wasn't even close. It's a $1,000 budget. I bid 78. He went for 269.
Yeah, I saw that.
Holy cow.
Well, good morning. It's raining. How about that? A little wet morning. It's supposed to, you know, get nice and dry.
Most might wake up and not even notice it.
No, that's right.
By the time they're out.
It rained overnight. Yeah, if you've got, you'll notice maybe some puddles. The car's wet. But it's supposed to get nice today. 60s. Nice and cool. Nice fall day. And we've got a big show. We've got Sal coming up at 7. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, is 7:30. We're expecting to touch base with Lindy Ruff. So we'll talk to the Sabres head coach or have a Sabres-based weekly conversation on Tuesdays. They moved it to Wednesday. So we're hoping to get Lindy today at 8 o'clock as they're over practicing ahead of their season opener, which is now 2 days away.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be in Prague. So
practicing right now even
because
of the time difference.
So Lindy Ruff coming up at 8. And it's also International Love is Blind Day. We made it, folks.
Okay.
Thank you, all of you that celebrate with me for International Love is Blind Day. You can binge probably, you know, 4 episodes-ish. I haven't checked. But
How long will it take you? There's 4 episodes?
Yeah, it'll take a long time.
To watch 4 episodes?
Yeah, like 4 days. I mean, it's an hour.
An episode a day?
Yeah, I don't anticipate going in a double, you know, dipping in right away.
You're not just right there all in one run.
No, because then you got to wait longer for the next set of episodes. Think about the controlled binge is when they release 4 or 6 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's, 6 more episodes come in 3 weeks. Might as well, you know,
the controlled binge.
Space it out.
Have you ever done that with a show, though, where you just in one swipe, like, right through it?
Yeah, sure. Plenty.
COVID would have been an opportunity for many to, I think, do this. Just watch a Tiger King. We all did it with Tiger King.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And the Jordan documentary. So we all did it at least once.
That's right. That's right. Well, good morning. Happy Wednesday, Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing. We're hanging out. So what? Do we talk about a Devontae Adams idea?
I think we talk about it at least, right?
There is a
star receiver in the NFL that is like not even just trade rumors, like he's on the trade market.
Yeah.
It sounds like or feels like both sides want to be done. Adams reportedly yesterday like he prefers to be traded, and that comes a day after his head coach liked a tweet about him playing his final game for the Raiders.
Yes.
So I don't think the coach wants him there, and I don't think the player wants to be there. So he's definitely getting moved.
I do not think the Bills will consider this. I don't think the Bills will...
Consider?
Nah, not really. No, I don't think they'll consider it. No.
Like, you wouldn't think they pick up the phone?
No, I don't. Not for this one.
Why is that? Just because of the age? Because of
the age,
timing?
The age and the money. And the thing about the Bills right now is they have spent a lot of time representing that they don't want this approach.
Mm-hmm.
And if they went out and traded for Davante Adams, it would all just be proven to be bogus. Like, oh, wait, yeah, we didn't really mean it.
But eventually that's coming.
Eventually.
Like, they're
but allowing,
going to
that,
be a day
to,
where
allowing
they
that to happen organically when, well, now, hey, I mean, MVS and Matt Collins left in free agency, and we love this guy. We our pro personnel people know T. Higgins or whoever it might be. Deontay Johnson. I was looking at the free agent receivers yesterday, and who could maybe they want to go after Chris Godwin or Keenan Allen. I don't know. Those guys are actually slot guys, and they have enough slot. So yeah. I just don't – I have a tough time believing that they're going to go after Davante Adams based on money, based on the competition for him. Amari Cooper, that one they might pick up the phone for. Amari Cooper is not – he's not
he's
asking –
free for money.
That's right.
Money-wise.
And he's not asking out. That would be a guy who wants to win. And if you trade for him, Cleveland would be sending him away with the idea that they, hey, well, that's a bad year for us. We're getting what we can. That's not a guy who forced his way out. And I would think the Bills, even though I don't believe for a single second that they regret the initial Diggs trade, there's no way they should, I don't think the Bills are about to go back down the road of, let's go talk to a guy that is forcing his way out of his situation. I don't think they'll go after that. The money, the compensation, all of that. I don't think they will.
Should they, though?
No.
He doesn't make them instantly better playing every single snap that Matt Collins is playing for them?
He probably...
at the X receiver spot?
He most certainly does.
I mean...
Replacing MVS or Matt Collins with Davante Adams, of course, is an obvious upgrade. But there's a lot more context there, and I just...
See,
I don't think it's the slam dunk that we've had at wide receiver trade ideas in the past.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the slam dunk that it's always been. They just traded a guy who was an, finger quotes, aging star, and that's what Davante Adams is. He's still good, but he's not top tier Davante Adams anymore.
Well, which was it? Did Diggs want out or did the Bills want out?
That's a great question. Like, every Bills fan has to kind of pick their own narrative because you're both glad that he's gone, but also mad at him.
Right. Like, because if he was a. The good soldier, by the story and by the GQ article, if he had just not said anything all off season and just like, I'm a Buffalo Bill, right? Like, I'm coming back next year, and he's just on the team. They're mad about that, or they are a worse team. Being the first words out of his mouth after they traded Stephon Diggs were, we are not a better team today.
Right, but he also said the offseason's not over and went out and drafted a receiver and added a couple more.
He added MVS and Keon Coleman in between the season and that.
Chase Claypool.
And Chase Claypool. I think everybody else was already here.
No, Quintez Cephas.
Okay.
And I want to get
oh my gosh, there was a Quintez Cephas month.
It was like 5 minutes of Quintez Cephas.
Where he was like the last name we would always mention in the group, like, but he was in the group.
And Andy Isabella. And
is he still here?
Xavier Johnson.
Okay. Can you name all the receivers from training camp?
Yeah,
go
all
14. Ahead. Who was the little guy that wore number 82? Was that Lawrence Keys?
Okay.
Was someone that was practicing for them? Just I don't know. Like they, what's more likely that everybody eats is a instrumental blueprint for how you run your offense, or it's a temporary PR campaign to explain why you traded your best player?
It's a temporary PR campaign, and it's. A PR, whatever.
It's working.
It's not over yet.
Like, they have everybody on board with them trading their second-best player. Well, a lot of people.
They definitely do not.
They have fans. They have more fans on board than they would otherwise.
Yeah, but that's because people support whatever they do. There's plenty of people that will support whatever they do.
There's a lot of people on the Everybody Eats train, I think. I'm on the receiver train over here, and I'm staring at the railroads all across town, and there's an Everybody Eats train over there, and there's people on that train.
There's people on that train when they beat Jacksonville. They lose to Baltimore, and it's like, wait a minute. Maybe I need more passes thrown to Keon Coleman.
Like, I don't think Adams is the perfect idea at all, but did you listen to Mike Jannetty of Spot Track with Bulldog yesterday?
I did.
Like, it's not untenable. Like, it is doable. You can trade for him. You lop off the whole contract after this year. And he's already got a giant chunk of that $25 million cap hit that the Raiders are on the hook for this year. Like, that is half gone already. So you'd have to do a little bit of finagling, but I think you can get there if you want him. But one, absolutely balking at the price that was out there. But to me, when you read, was it Rapoport, Pelissero, whoever said it, second round pick and an asset, to me that means they're not getting that. Right? Because that's what they're asking, which means there will be negotiations with somebody, and somebody will come in below that. And it'll be maybe it'll be a third. Maybe it'll be a fourth. I don't know. But to me, you're not paying a second-round pick to get this player. And I just have a hard time closing the door completely on an idea that does absolutely make them better. He is a better wide receiver than they have, even at this, you know... It's tough to gauge how diminished he is. He was also like the best receiver in football. So you could call him the ninth best receiver in football right now and still say that he's technically diminished. But he's also not played with a great quarterback in multiple years. What would he look like here as the X receiver? Probably a lot better than he's looking with Gardner Minshew. To me, though, like the thing that maybe has changed about this is, and I wonder if the Bills feel this way, managing expectations, being called it a transition year. It still is a transition year, but what's changed in the last month and a half from when the Bills were, you know, 2 months? Go back to when they were cutting salary, when they were cutting guys off, and, you know, Hyde's gone, Poyer's gone, and Morse is gone. They trade Diggs, Gabe Davis is gone, like all the changes. All the, hey, let's manage our expectations here. Your division now looks like a cakewalk, and now the AFC looks like it is wide open for you to take. And I wonder, like you made this point yesterday, how 2017, they went in thinking it was a rebuilding year. Midway through, things changed, and they were looking like they can make the playoffs, so they added. Months after, they sold. And I'm only a month in, and I feel like a Bills team that was maybe more, you know, oh, let's just get in. Let's just get in and see what happens. Is suddenly the division looks like a cakewalk and the Chiefs are injured, so let's go get this thing. We're trying to win the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Davante Adams playing the Mac Hollins snaps isn't going to help me win the Super Bowl for, what, a third-round pick? A fourth-round pick?
Do the Bills think they can win it with Mac Hollins?
Should that be the question, though? Should the question be, do you have a better chance of winning it with the other guy?
Yeah. Well,
that's the question.
There's no major cap commitment, as you pointed out. That's key because they're very important. They're very importantly wanting to shed the cap and be wide open. All right. Well, they've done that. This is part of the point about how, you know, eventually they will get somebody like this. They're going to have $60 million in cap space, and they're going to have some people to pay and also some free agents that they're going to go sign, whether that's a free agent or a receiver or defensive end. I haven't bought for a single second that the Bills prefer to have no stars at receiver. I don't buy it and never have. And I am surprised how many people do buy that.
It would be like if you could hit a magic button right now, or I could give Keon Coleman a shot of something that makes him Davante Adams.
Oh, well, that's
as good as Davante Adams right now.
Well, that's very different. That guy is 24 nothing.
All right, that's fair.
I mean, I would trade a first-round pick to make Keon Coleman prime Davante Adams right now.
But you know what I mean. Then suddenly your whole offense starts going to one player again. Or not your whole
maybe
offense, but a much, much larger chunk of it.
Who cares? I've never cared about that. I'm never going to care about that. Is the offense good?
Right.
And the offense has been good, right? It's been good. This is one thing about the Baltimore game that I think is important context. For any Bills fan out there that says, like, wow, they lost one game and everybody's freaking out, that's not really what's happened. What's happened is we're four games in, and the receivers that aren't Shakir, and that's really it, aren't doing a whole lot. Coleman's doing enough for a rookie.
He's had two good games.
Shakir's fine. Shakir's been their most important receiver. And after that, you've got nothing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm thinking about these receivers and I'm waiting for Curtis Samuel to show up and kind of blossom. I don't want to say quite, I'm waiting for Curtis Samuel to save the Bills.
How about just play a role?
Yeah, play a role.
Any role.
Like, Samuel got $8 million, and that's not big money, but that, whatever. Like, he was supposed to be someone that was going to take over the Diggs role, and he does not really run routes like that. They don't have him as a receiver. They're using him as a gadget guy. And then I've got MVS and Hollins, and that's not a recipe for winning. One stat on the Bills that can drive this home is against Baltimore, their receivers' separation. So the Bills' separation for their receivers, you can see it measured a bunch of different ways. I've seen some where it doesn't look great, others where it's average. But against Baltimore, the Bills had the fourth worst separation in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Translation, Baltimore can cover them. We know Jacksonville certainly can't. Jacksonville can't cover them. Can Arizona? Maybe. That was a Shakir game, right? Wasn't that mostly Shakir? Holland's got a touchdown, I guess, as well. I drive the train, Joe. I want good, young, flush receivers on this team. There were a lot of ideas that were better, I think, than Davante Adams. But
yep.
I just don't think this is the best idea. Would I rather have Davante Adams for a year on a second-round pick or wait and use that second-round pick on Keon Coleman's guy riding shotgun with him for three, four years? Because that, to me, sounds like a better idea. And if, in fact, it is a year in transition, then I'm going to see if I can win the Super Bowl in a year in transition. And next year, I'm going to use my $62 million in cap space and all that money to go in the right way. So, I don't know. This is not a. It's not like if they did it, I'd be upset. Amari Cooper is a different idea. Maybe that's a better idea. It's cheaper, which might even mean he's more expensive from a compensation standpoint.
Yep.
Anyway, a Twitter poll up. If the Bills add Davante Adams this year, if the price is right, and insert whatever price you want, something acceptable that's not too much and not a steal. You want to do it. We don't have to argue about the price. In your head, the appropriate price, would you want to do it? Yay or nay? Don't tell me, like, oh, they did it for a seventh-round pick. You know, like, they won a bidding war here, and it's not three firsts.
Winning the bidding war might not be a second, though. I don't think they're getting a second. Third or fourth.
Well, it depends on what general manager Aaron Rodgers of the Jets wants to pay.
Yeah, well, should he...
He wants to go to the Jets, and Rodgers is going to want to play with him.
Is that, by the way, a part of this equation?
For sure.
For the Bills, I mean. If you were like on the fence about it, but you think if I don't do it, if I don't give the Raiders that one, you know, asset above the third to outbid the Jets, then he's going to my division rival. And by the way, I'm not just inclined to believe that maybe would the Raiders just trade him exactly where he wants to go, because it doesn't seem like their relationship's all that rosy right now. Wouldn't they just take the highest bid?
Maybe.
This isn't no trade clauses in the NHL. Like, he can't say no, I think, if he gets traded to a team. He could tell the team, don't do it, I guess. But I just wonder how much leverage the player has here. I think it might just be the highest bidder.
We'll get some calls in on this. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Maybe what I'm experiencing is they have so consistently underplayed this position, even in this offseason, one of their biggest free agent and their biggest draft pick were receivers. They've so consistently underplayed this position, even throughout Diggs' tenure, that I have a hard time. Oh, Beckham's in for a visit. Oh, DeAndre Hopkins wants to play with Josh. Like, they don't do it. They're slow on this. And I don't really expect them to all of a sudden break out of that for a one-year rental of Davante Adams and win a bidding war for it. But I'm ready to be wrong on that. Brian in Arcade. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, guys. I mean, so many different ways to go on this, so many thoughts on this. I mean, I think, number one, people got to keep in perspective that, you know, we think that we're so close to winning a Super Bowl in this town. We talk like we're the Chiefs. You went to one AFC championship game, got boat raced, and then you've lost in the divisional consistently every year since then. And what are the common denominators? I mean, Allen running for his life. I think Baltimore provided you a nice picture of playoff future. Allen having to dive and make plays out of bounds because he has no receivers to throw to. I don't understand the honor in dying on the hill waiting for Curtis Samuel to develop a role. I heard Brady yesterday talking about, yes, I'll do a better job of getting him involved and like being a part. I don't want to wait for that. His career high is 800 yards receiving, and he's mostly 600 yards receiving, and the average isn't that amazing, and he's never been this big touchdown player. Why do I have to wait for Keon Coleman to become Randy Moss and wait another year for this? And then Mac Hollins, well, he's in the Gabe Davis role and he blocks really well. I think it's psychotic that we don't have the urgency in this town to want to win. Allen is in his seventh year. He's 28. The other pieces of this team are not getting younger. I mean, Vaughn is at the end. You've got a 30-year-old left tackle. Rasul Douglas is not getting any younger. You have injuries all in the linebacker group. I mean, Milano's almost 30. I don't understand the urgency. Why are you dying on this hill of we need a rotational band of receivers to prove to ourselves that we don't need a star? What is the point of that? If teams take away James Cook, your offense is neutered because there's nowhere to go. Khalil Shakir is not going to become a number one. Sorry, everyone. I mean, I don't understand why you can't see that talent wins in this league. Why do you force Allen to and then this Dalton Kincaid experiment as well. Like, why can't we just say what he is? He's a high-level, maybe possession tight end. That's what he is. He's not going to stretch the seam. We're 20 games in. Like, if he could do it, he would have done it already. We don't have to keep pretending on these experiments. Just say what reality is instead of banking on development like the Sabres. It's just not a good recipe. Get an all-pro receiver, and he'll play like one. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Look at your second-round picks. Look at your second-round picks. Cody Ford, Boogie Basham, you know, the safety we took.
Cole Bishop.
Bishop. Yeah, exactly.
Keon Coleman.
Any of those guys, if the price was a second-round pick, would any of those players, okay, Osiris Torrance, you want to name a good one, like any of those players, would you rather have DK Metcalf, who you could have had in the second round, or Davante Adams? Like, no, give me the star. When other teams want to give you their stars, what I've learned in pro sports is let them give you your stars, because your draft picks are never going to be as good as those established players. You're never going to take a receiver in the second round, late second round by you, that's going to be better. I mean, you've got the Vikings second round pick from the Texans. That looks like that's going to be a late second rounder at this point. The Bills looks like a late second rounder at this point. You're not going to find a receiver in late second round. Javon Baker, like for the Patriots, McMillan, who is going to be as good as Davante Adams, even at 31. We act like we're so good in this town. Like, we've won so many titles. Well, he's too old. He's too old. He's too expensive. I don't understand the urgency to win a Super Bowl, guys. We have not had it.
Well, thanks, Brian. I think a lot of what you said is right. Davante Adams was a late second-round pick, for what it's worth.
I was going to say, that's the one thing I liked a lot of that. I think the one thing, like, and you even mentioned the one other name, DK Metcalf was a late second-round pick.
There's a ton of second-round receivers that are awesome.
I don't know what
and
your odds
are. And Keon Coleman might be the next one, or one of the next ones. But there are a ton of second-round receivers that are great.
Not to say your odds are great at it. You know, they're certainly lower than 50-50. I mean, below that.
In 8 years of Josh Allen's career, they've spent how many young draft picks on a second-round receiver or higher?
Mm-hmm.
How many? One?
One.
Zay Jones was before they picked Allen, right? Since they picked Josh Allen, they have used a second-round pick, and that's Keon Coleman. It just happened that they used it, a first- or second-round pick, on a young receiver, not going out and acquiring Diggs, which is spending a first, but you know they've not invested in the position. They've done it with Gabe Davis in the fourth and Khalil Shakir in the fifth, and who else? Justin Shorter. In the fifth.
They've
not spent prime capital on the position, and they're trying to get away with doing that.
I do have a hard time disagreeing with the one phrase Brian said, which is, when another team wants to give you their stars, let them give you their stars. Does Davante Adams help them win the Super Bowl? Yes. I don't want to be close to it. I'm not saying it's perfect. I do not want to be close to it.
I'm certainly not close to it. And it's funny because I'm sitting here telling you, I do not believe the Bills' current PR campaign, but I do believe that they will stick to it for at least a year, which is, no, everybody eats. I don't believe it, but I think they will stick to it for a year and see how it goes. So they can clear their cap and then go spend, you know, $30 million on whoever it might be. 803-0550. Thanks, Brian. What do you think? Yay or nay? You interested in this idea? Amari Cooper? Are you tired of hearing people freak out because they lost one game? I do think that the conversation about Adams would be had even if they had beaten Baltimore.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
There are plenty of people that even at 3-0, I mean, the Jacksonville game was one where it looked like they had a good group. But 2-0, we had plenty of conversations like, you know, they really haven't had to lean on their receivers yet. Then they beat Jacksonville. They still didn't really have to. So they're going to be tougher games, and maybe they can win it. That's the best point to me, Joe. Will Bean look at this and say, like, you know, we should probably do something here. What if we could win it now without having to give up too much and, you know, mortgage the future? All right. Good morning. 803-0550 is our phone number. It is Wednesday. Sal joins us at 7, the latest on Von Miller, his 4-game suspension. You know, it's how the NFL operates. We'll get into that a little bit as well. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
So this big story happens where They think your coach, or your coach did, I actually don't know, likes this post about you getting traded. My first question is, how soon did you hear from coach?
I haven't heard from him. I haven't talked to him. I don't really know exactly what that's about. You know, social media is a beast, so it's a lot of people out there that saw it and, you know, wondering what's going on and people reaching out. And yeah, I haven't spoke to him.
Devontae Adams with Kay Adams. You know, it feels like we go down this road plenty of times, plenty of teams. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. My knee jerk is to say, like, if the Raiders trade him, that's fine. And I'm sure a lot of Raiders fans would hope to get the best they can. It is very common in this spot for football fans to just take up for the coach. You tell me the coach of the team is no longer in contact with the best player? And who's the coach? Yeah. Is the coach Sean Payton? Is the coach Mike Tomlin? Someone accomplished? Someone that has a resume to do that? No, it's Antonio Pierce. Okay. Antonio Pierce, who thinks that his team found the formula to beat the Chiefs because they had a couple of defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't know. Antonio Pierce, to me, doesn't rate as someone who I would think gets to win these battles without even talking to the wide receiver, without even reaching out to him in any way. Maybe they're on rough enough terms, whatever. We're talking about Devontae Adams as an idea. We're talking about the Bills' offense, really. The Jets, meanwhile, as a candidate for Adams, there's a piece today at ProFootballTalk.com about Garrett Wilson saying the Jets' offense is kind of boring. Quote, I don't think we do a lot of different stuff. When I watch football on Sundays and I see a lot of teams who mix it up and stuff like that, I don't feel like we do that. It's about going out and executing it or figuring out if it's going to work. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. And then he says, personally, my route tree hasn't been what it has been the last 2 years as far as the stuff I've been running. So already with the Jets, we've got their best receiver, which, by the way, I would say this. If Devontae Adams went to the Jets, is Garrett Wilson their best receiver? Or is Devontae Adams their best receiver?
Can I answer the question as I think Garrett Wilson would be their best receiver, but I think the guy that would be treated as their number one is Devontae Adams?
Because Rodgers has the relationship?
He's throwing the ball. You see how often he's throwing the ball to Lazard?
Yeah.
Lazard has been reinvented just because Rodgers likes him. Basically, like, he's a fine player, I guess. So, yeah, no, if Adams went there, I think that would be it. And who could have saw this coming, by the way? Weekly drama about the New York Jets and everything around their offense. Here's their star receiver. Worst numbers of his career through four games.
Yeah, they don't look much different than Zach Wilson era Garrett Wilson numbers.
No. And that was with Zach Wilson, a quarterback. Yep. Keep in mind.
803-0550. All right, we've got a Twitter poll. You can answer this for us if you'd like. Are you into this idea? This is Devontae Adams' idea. Right now it's 72% yay and 28% nay. The Bills add Adams this year for a price you find acceptable. You want to do it. Brandon asks, is there any merit in making the trade to keep him off of Kansas City in a down year or away from the Jets? I don't think Devontae Adams would push the Jets past the Bills. I really don't. I mean, I think Rodgers, yeah, the way he looks and his immobility, I think he's in trouble no matter what, personally. And if you added another good receiver to the Jets, I've got to cover Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams. There's one thing I think the Bills have the strength to do. It's cover good receivers. I think they can do it with Benford and Rasul Douglas.
Yep. I agree with that. Jason Owens of Yahoo wrote this morning, six prime spots for Adams and then one dark horse. Do you think you could name the six spots listed?
The six spots, yes.
And the dark horse.
Okay. Kansas City.
Not one of the six prime spots.
Kansas City's not?
Nope.
Okay, then he's wrong. And they literally don't have any receivers.
He's
wrong.
He doesn't have them listed as one of the six because he has Kansas City listed as the dark horse.
Okay, whatever. Fine.
Which, how does that make any sense, by the way? Odd. They're a dark horse? The one that everyone thinks he's going to, or like they're number two on most people's lists.
I've seen some dark horses. Some of the dark horse candidates are either Washington or Detroit.
Washington is on his list of six. Detroit is not.
Okay. The Jets, the Bills.
The Jets and the Bills.
The Chargers.
Not the Chargers.
Okay, they desperately need help at receiver, even though they don't throw the ball that much.
Yep.
Who else?
Who else could trade for Devontae Adams?
I mean, anybody, really. Who is it?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, they have Pickens and not a lot else.
Yep, Baltimore.
Okay, always needing an X receiver, always.
Did you say Dallas?
I did not.
Okay, Dallas is the other one. Those are the six. Bills are on the six. Chiefs as a dark horse. Whatever.
Maybe he lists the Chiefs as a dark horse because the Raiders won't do it. Right? The Raiders will not trade him in the division.
Okay. That
even
might
for a year.
Be...
Like I'm not, if there, especially if there's a personal rift between Antonio Pierce and Adams. Sure, I'll get you out of here. I'm going to do just fine. But I'm not going to send you to a team that's going to beat me twice.
It does seem like that's his sentiment a little bit. That they're a dark horse because there's no way the Raiders are going to trade him there, right?
No, I don't think so.
And I think I would agree with that. So to that question about, like, would you keep him away from the Chiefs, I think I don't have to worry about that. I think the only team I have to worry about, ask the question about, like, hey, is it worth doing this to not let blank get him? I think I guess Baltimore could be on that list.
Could.
I'm more worried about them than I am about the Jets right now. Right?
I guess we have to decide, is it a transition year or is it a go-for-it year?
Right now, it's a go-for-it year.
I guess how much do you have to decide that? How much do you really have to decide that? If Bean has the opportunity, forget about Devontae Adams. Make it any position you want. Make it a safety if you want to make it a safety. Make it what you think is the final piece to get this team a 4% boost in winning the Super Bowl. Because I'm trying to think, like, when you go all in, what's the boost you get? Who makes a trade at the deadline where it's like, wow, look at that, they're going for it? If the Bills made a 11% boost, 7%, I don't even know the number, like, analytically what it would be. Is that something they should do? Trade a future first? Because I would have traded next year's first to get a number one receiver on this team. I would have done it. I would have traded next year's first for Neighbors or Adunze or Marvin Harrison Jr. And that, you know, that ship sailed. And now they got Keon Coleman, who we'll see what he grows into. He looks pretty good so far.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they weren't willing to go big at the position in the offseason when they had a lot of time to think about it and calculate, had all these options. Are they really going to be a team that in October decides, like, actually, you know what? Yeah, Devontae Adams for a half a year.
Yeah.
Does that sound like something that lines up with what they're going to do? They had opportunities to do lots of other things.
See, this is where, though, like, this is where the Ravens' loss does not matter to me to the Adams conversation at all. If the Bills were 2-2 right now, and the Jets looked dominant, and Tua was healthy, and the Dolphins looked good, too, and the division looks like, man, this is going to be tough. And the transition year really lived up to the bill. Like, they're going to have a fight on their hands, and they might be underdogs to win the fight. Then I think it's a lot easier to say, I don't trade for Devontae Adams because this is what I was in for. This is resetting. I'm getting my cap back in order. I am going young. I'm developing at certain positions. I am managing my expectations. I'm not trading for Devontae Adams. To me, it becomes a go-for-it year when the rest of your division looks the way it looks. You started 3-0, and you did lose to the Ravens. To me, that almost works in the other direction. If they were 4-0, I might even be more inclined to say, yes, go get Devontae Adams.
To try and win it.
Go try and win it. Look at this. Look at this opportunity that you have in front of you. The Chiefs are 4-0, but they do not look like they are unbeatable.
Well, let me
go beat them.
Let me bring up a name here. The Chiefs, in their transition year, traded for Kadarius Toney, right?
Yeah, isn't that what they trade, a third?
They traded two draft picks for Toney. That's the year where they say goodbye to Tyree. Am I right about this? Because
yes,
Toney and Hill never crossed over.
No.
And Toney's on the first team of theirs that wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was on the Giants, and they traded him in like week 3 or 4 or something.
Right,
yeah.
So about this time, if you want to make the comparisons to the Chiefs' transition year, about this time that year, they traded for a receiver that they thought would help them. And he did help them. He had a
punt
return in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he helped them. I mean, he wasn't Devontae Adams, but they made a point to say, all right, transition year, but we need help. Let's go get it. And that was part of them winning.
Like, to me, it is thinking about all their yak and all of, and Shakir and Kincaid and all that they have working on offense right now and like, okay, let's go make it even better. Go, like, look how good it looks. Now, the one thing you might be missing is a dangerous threat on the outside, where in a game like that against Baltimore, where, hey, they're really hemming in on you. They found a way. They're physical enough. They're athletic enough. They are not just going to let you gain yak all day long and dump it off around the line of scrimmage and then run for yardage after that. Like, the Ravens just were not a team that was going to let you do that. And to me, when I have a tough matchup, like that, where they can really hurt my scheme, they can really hurt my group of weapons as a whole, what would it help to have? Look at the Coleman plays. Coleman is a rookie, so I don't know how much I want to expect from him on this all the time. But what were the plays that started working for the Bills? It was, nobody's open, let me go one-on-one to the guy that can make a special play. And that was Coleman. He couldn't get open, but he has got a guy on him, but he's going to make a special play. I'm just going to go throw it to the talent right over there. And that's, again, that's Coleman. That's a rookie. I don't know how much you can bet on that game to game to game to game when your scheme isn't working versus when you have a guy like a Devontae Adams. If I need to go to one guy, if I need one thing to work, this guy's going to, I trust that this person's going to find a way to get open. This person is going to find a way to get the ball. To me, that's the one player I don't think they have on a consistent basis that I think Adams still is.
We'll get you what Matt Harmon of Reception Perception has to say about Adams, his full write-up on Adams last year, which is not this year, but last year. Sal Capaccio at 7, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30, Lindy Ruff at 8. It is hump day, and it's a little wet out there, but a nice fall day on the way. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. All right, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. I just asked Joe to do some work on Dalton Kincaid. It's a follow-up to a 2-year-old conversation, but whatever. And I feel like every time anybody makes a point on Kincaid, you have to say, not mad at the player about this. This might be about how come they don't really find ways to use him more. So in his first 20 games with the Bills, Dalton Kincaid in years 1 and 2 has 805 yards receiving, which is, not a massive number, but 673 last year, 132 this year. He's got 805 yards receiving. Okay? Where does that rank among tight ends versus receivers? And the reason I wanted to ask that question is, remember when he got drafted, the story was, think of him like a receiver. Think of him like a wide receiver. Don't think of him like a tight end. This guy's like a wide receiver. Well, granted, some context here. There are more receivers that play on the field than there are tight ends, although lately teams go to 2 tight ends and 2 receivers. Anyway, 805 yards among receivers is 49th.
Mm-hmm.
And 805 yards among tight ends is 11th.
Yep.
So if you're evaluating Kincaid, if you want to be feeling better about him, I would say think of him like a tight end. Because if you think of him like a receiver, he doesn't put up numbers.
Receivers put up
much bigger numbers, and Kincaid's out there as a tight end. Think of him like a receiver. Actually, you know what? Maybe don't. He's having a fine year. He's got 13 catches, 132 yards.
Yeah.
His depth of target is down.
Yeah, like from that draft class, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 receivers with more yards than him.
And he was the best pass catcher, right? Remember?
Yeah.
This is the best receiver in the draft. He's the best pass catcher in the draft. Well, when the standard is for tight end instead of receiver, you drop your standard a bit. And that's kind of, I think, where Kincaid has landed. When Bills fans saw him picked, I think we were hoping for a little bit more. Maybe that's coming. You know, this year he's off to a decent start, and he's on pace to surpass last year's numbers. Larry in South Florida before the break. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to weigh in on the Adams and Cooper discussion. So, like you mentioned, Baltimore kind of exposed our short passing game and our yak, and we didn't have it. The concerning part is Baltimore is one of the worst teams in defending the long passing game. We did not exploit that. And did we not exploit it because we can't, or do we not exploit it because we aren't paying attention, or we didn't game plan for it? That, who knows? So the idea of getting a Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper is very intriguing to me. Now, Adams, obviously, I would not pay a second-round pick. I probably wouldn't even go third. I would go fourth. Cooper, same thing, fourth or fifth or even lower. But it's obvious to me that we need that downfield threat. Like, once again, I called you guys so much about this last year, a lot of the short and sideline throws, we were right back to that again against Baltimore. And I really want to see down the field throws at least 15, 20 yards over the middle. Now, you have a receiver on your roster that can do that and has shown over his career he can, and that's Curtis Samuel. But we talked about it a couple days ago. They're not using him that way. And I would love, like, when Sale comes on, if you guys could ask him why he thinks that Curtis Samuel's not being used that way, he can get the ball 7 to 10 yards down the field, 15 yards down the field, and turn it into plays. I mean, you saw what he did when he was with Washington when we played him, how he turned a quick little 7-yard out pass into a huge gain. I don't think he's even scored a touchdown on that play. But it was a massive gain. And so I would love, obviously I'd love to get Adams, but I know that's going to be tough. I would love Amari Cooper. I've always loved that guy. And if we could get him in, I'm all for it.
Thanks, Larry. The one difference, I'm seeing a lot of people saying Cooper would be cheaper. The one difference is that he has not asked to be traded. The Browns are not upset with him, I don't think. And the fact that he is relatively cheap from a financial standpoint means the compensation should probably be higher. So you might have Adams costs more dollars, but Cooper might go for a higher price because more teams can get involved. He's $600,000 on a cap hit at the deadline.
Right.
Every team in the league almost could make a play for him if the Browns decided to open the doors for business. Sal, when we return, we'll get his thoughts on this. More updates on the Bills. We'll get some injury news from them today. They did add a defensive tackle yesterday, Zion Logue. So we'll ask Sal about him as well. Jeremy and Joe here on a Wednesday morning. Some more Bills chat with Sal on the other side on WGR.